In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
The last time we talked to Dr. Jerome Corsi was on the weekend of March 15th. 10 days later, President Trump signed an executive order preserving and protecting the integrity of American elections. And that will be a big part of our discussion today, I suspect, because we're going to dive once again into the murky waters of election fraud. Now, every time, including and especially in places like here in Oregon, whenever anyone says anything about election fraud, you hear about how secure elections are. What you hear is, of course our voter rolls are totally clean, but we won't let you look or verify. Trust us, they are. Yeah, sorry, that doesn't wash. It's not up to the voters to blindly trust whatever elections divisions say. It's up to elections divisions to prove they are trustworthy. And from there, that the elections and the outcomes can be trusted. Whether you call them clone voters or modified duplicates, although I'm kind of partial to undocumented duplicates, they're all the same. They are fictitious voters based on real people and modified just enough to look like they're real. But they should not be on the voter rolls and need to be removed. And they will be, thanks to President Trump's executive order that is paving the way to clean the voter rolls. And who wouldn't want that? So I'd like to welcome Dr. Jerome Corsi back to the show. He is the author of about 30 books, including two New York Times bestsellers. He's the founder and CEO of Corsi Nation. And there's a website that you'll definitely want to go visit. It's God's Five Stones, and that's spelled out F-I-V-E, godsfivestones.com. Dr. Corsi, it's great to talk to you again.
It's great to be back on the show, and I'm really looking forward to the discussion. It's G-O-D, no apostrophe in the S, yes. And then it's spelled five, F-I-V-E, stones.com. And that's where we have all the information on the election fraud, including the studies that have been done by Andrew Paquette. Mm-hmm. That we'll get into of how these algorithms have been placed into the State Board of Election computers, the servers, to allow these modified duplicates to be created.
So when I introduced you, I asked that question, who wouldn't want clean voter rolls in jest? But let's actually deal with that. Is there any way to look at choosing dirty, inaccurate voter rolls over clean and accurate ones other than they want to cheat?
The cheaters want to cheat. And so, therefore, every state that I've looked at has corrupted databases for the voters because that's the way the politicians have wanted it. And recently, I would say over beginning maybe 20 or 30 years ago, the Democrats have figured out that they could steal elections easier than win them. And so a lot of this movement has come from the Democratic Party. Now, again, I don't hold the Republicans entirely innocent because the Republicans have gone along with it.
Yes.
But the point is, the rules that are in place today, specifically with mail-in voting, vote harvesting, not requiring voter IDs, all these are rules which are inherently designed to steal elections and to cheat with false voters getting the opportunity to vote. People should never be allowed to vote. Mm-hmm. Non-citizens, non-existing people. People who are harvested and don't know that they voted. Migrants, I mean, homeless, you name it, that are placed on our voter rolls and are voted through various criminal schemes.
Right. And that's an important point because last time we talked a lot about clone voters. And these are ones that are inserted via an algorithm that are duplicated just enough to look like they're real people. And even if you looked at the voter rolls, you may not be able to tell that they're fake voters versus what we see in a lot of voter rolls, which is people that just shouldn't be on there. Like you mentioned, illegal immigrants and some other people, you know, that are dead probably shouldn't be on there as well. And nonsensical people. You know, as far as cleaning voter rolls are concerned, nonsensical people will argue that it's better to leave people on the rolls rather than risk taking a legitimate voter off the rolls that could prevent them from voting. And I think the response to that is there are already remedies in the law that if someone had been removed from the rolls and they show up on election day, they can get things like a provisional ballot. So I don't see this notion that we should leave everybody on the rolls forever and ever as a legitimate argument. Can you play devil's advocate there on that? What's their argument for keeping them on there?
Well, their argument is simply that they don't want people removed once they manage to get them on the database, the voter rolls. They want them left because they know that this is the way to cheat. Anybody who's honest is going to say, you know, you've got to go in the direction of voter IDs and the like. Let me give you some numbers. Let's take Wisconsin, because Wisconsin is going to be a major subject today. So Wisconsin has about 7.7 million voters on the State Board of Election voter roll. And now a huge number of these, there's over 2 million, almost 2,500,000, where there's a name and phone match. Okay, now as we go through this and kind of sort out who's what is really suspicious records, there's about 875,000 suspicious records, okay, which is, you know, one out of 800,000 out of 7.7 million, you know, it's not quite 10%, but it's, you know, this is a huge number. I guess actually it is over 10%. It's about 12% of the voter roll is suspicious records. Now that is likely to be half that number, let's say about 437,000 that are on the database and have another record under their name, but with a slight variation so that a middle initial might be changed or an address might be changed. Frequently, these duplicates end up having a date changed, but all the duplicates, so that there may be four Jerome Corsis on the Wisconsin roll, all with only one legitimate, my birthday legitimate. But then the other birthdays are all different, but yet that voter, all the Jerome Corsis turn the same age on election day. So they could any or all be used. Okay, so they're all designed by mathematical formulas which allow the creation of these records. Okay, we can begin. It's not easy to allow the creation of these records because they can't be obvious. You know, if you just see one of my clones or one of my duplicate modified records out there, well, it's legitimate.
How does that work in terms of those, you know, there's the original Jerome Corsi and then there's three or four or however many more. Aren't they supposed to have some kind of identification tied to them? Or yes. is it something like Oregon, where you don't even have to have an ID number of any sort. You can just attest that, yes, you are, in fact, a citizen.
Well, and the key is to create non-existent voters who get legitimate voter IDs. Okay, so if you can shuffle the database so that you can insert duplicates that are not seen to be duplicates because you're not searching for duplicates. You're not searching the record for duplicates. Those look like individual voters and they get a legitimate state ID. So all four of the Jerome Corsis get a legitimate Oregon state ID to vote, even though three of them are completely fictitious. Hmm. And then they're hidden back in the database. And when it comes time to use them, you know, so we're running an election. We want to make sure we win. So we start voting 10,000 of these modified duplicates, non-existent people. We say they want mail-in ballots. They request mail-in ballots in the computer. It's not mailed to anyone because you don't mail a ballot to somebody who doesn't exist.
Sure.
But yet it's voted in that it's printed and run through the tabulation machine. Hmm. Number on the printed ballot matches the number of the voter who requested the ballot in the voter database, although it's all a fictitious person.
Wow.
Because
wow.
Fraud is committed within the State Board of Election computer. Someone has penetrated that computer and is manipulating the data, and they're voting these false positives.
Yeah. Well, there is so much more to talk about, and we're just getting started. We're doing that with Dr. Jerome Corsi, talking about the voter fraud that is happening right in front of our eyes. And be sure to stay with us, as Dr. Corsi told us he has an exclusive announcement about Wisconsin that he'll be making right here on the iSpy Radio Show. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Dr. Jerome Corsi. He's a best-selling author. He's got about 25 books since 2004. Six of those were on the New York Times bestsellers list, and he had two number one New York Times bestsellers as well. He is the founder and CEO of Corsi Nation, and you'll also want to go visit God's Five Stones, no apostrophe there, God's, and five is spelled out, godsfivestones.com, and we'll link that up on today's show page, which is 15-14 on iSpyRadio.com. And Dr. Corsi, we're talking about these fictitious voters that end up in the, on these roles, and you had mentioned that, actually, let's start with Oregon, because right now there is a Senate bill that is under consideration. I don't suspect it'll go anywhere because it's a supermajority Democrat, both in the House and the Senate, and of course we have a Democrat governor. But there is discussion, at least, that you'll maybe get rid of mail-in voting. And of course, that's how so much of this fraud happens. And there's also this the discussion about we need to have voter ID, you know, that you show some kind of ID when you go in and register. Because as I said in that previous segment there, you can just show up and, or you can even do it online and just say, oh yeah, I'm totally a U.S. citizen. And I've just been trying to think of any valid or logical reason why somebody would not want to have ID being a requirement to vote. And of course, what the other side claims is that by requiring ID, you'd be preventing a whole lot of minorities from voting. So as far as that argument goes, has there ever been any studies that you know of that show what exactly percentage of voters do not have and cannot get their own government identification, whether it's a passport, driver's license, or even just a state ID? Because the way the Democrats act when it comes to ID, it's like they think there's 20 to 30% of the electorate out there that can't get an ID for some reason.
Well, there is a very good book, and let's cite it here. It's a book called The Myth of Voter Suppression, and it's written by Fred Lucas, L-U-C-A-S. Okay, now what Fred Lucas does is he goes through and demonstrates that virtually anyone who wants to get legitimate ID can get legitimate ID, provided they really are a citizen, provided they really are entitled to a legitimate ID. Okay, so the fact that they did not go get a legitimate ID, whether it's a driver's license or other form of ID, is specious. Or the fact that minorities are prevented from getting legitimate IDs, you know, if a minority is born in the United States, they've got a birth certificate. And that's the beginning of a legitimate ID. Okay, so this argument is just specious to begin with.
Yeah.
Now, if we go to Wisconsin, and I'm focusing on Wisconsin because I'm going to announce here, give you a breaking news announcement, and that is that working with Peter Titkin, T-I-C-K-T-I-N, who is the president's attorney, godsfivestones.com, we're going to now get our data into Cash Patel, and we're going to offer to demonstrate to them in a forensic manner that the vote in this Wisconsin Supreme Court race was stolen. Now, why do I believe that? First of all, the race was settled by a very narrow margin. Okay, so Susan Crawford, who was the leftist, the liberal, the one who's going to be, who, by the way, when it was campaign, major campaign support from a transgender, who was a popular transgender and the left. And she's going to go along with this gerrymandering proposal, which could win two seats in the midterm election for the Democrats in 2026. She got 1.3 million votes, 55% of the vote. And Brad Schimmel got 1.06. So there was about 250,000 votes separating the two of them. Now, the problem with that is when you look at the number of absentee ballots, there were 408,000 absentee ballots in Milwaukee and Dane County alone. Okay, now that's a huge number to be able to swing the election. And the problem is that the fraud occurs in the mail-in ballots.
Yes.
These came in early. They're highly suspect. And I doubt if they were checked to see if how many of these modified duplicates voted. Now, when we get the list of who voted, which we should be entitled to get from Wisconsin, and we check it against the mail-in voting, we can easily determine how many non-existent voters voted. And if we find the number to be in excess of the margin of victory for Susan Crawford, we're going to have a very strong case that this was a stolen election.
Yeah, well, it sure looks like it. You know, that is just really exciting to hear that you guys might be able to get Cash Patel involved. I would certainly think that this would be the kind of case that he would want to sink his teeth into. So if, though, that you guys can prove that there was voter fraud that happened, especially these modified duplicates, are there any actions that he can take versus, well, I guess, doesn't it come down to Wisconsin has to settle their own elections?
Well, you accept that if there's election fraud of this nature in an election, it's a federal offense. Because the inherently having modified duplicates in the record violates the Help America Vote Act, HAVA, 2002, which says a voter can have only one legitimate state ID. Now, when we look at this Wisconsin mail-in ballot, the early voting, okay, it turns out that there was an exceptional jump in the mail-in voting in this election for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The number of people casting early in-person absentee ballots, mail-in votes, jumped by 95%. So 202 people voted early this year, compared with 102,894 at the same point 2 years ago. Okay, so now we're going to have to determine how many of these were actually not voters that were legitimate or real or even existing, but are these modified duplicates. And with nearly, you know, more than, let's just say, one in every seven of the Wisconsin voters is a modified duplicate who doesn't exist. Those kinds of numbers are so outrageously off the board that I think an argument may be made that the Wisconsin database used in this election was actually corrupted beyond repair.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it. Let's actually take a break there because I've got some figures from Ron Johnson, who, of course, lives in Wisconsin, and they are just astounding. Everyone stay with us. We'll continue with Dr. Jerome Corsi after this. And welcome back. We're talking today to Dr. Jerome Corsi. You're talking about election fraud and what is happening up there, and what happened, I should say, past tense, in Wisconsin, and another election that looks like it may have been stolen. And Dr. Corsi, you were talking there about what's going on there with Wisconsin, and I'd just like to read this. This is from Senator Ron Johnson. In August of 2024, he said, "It's not accidental that Wisconsin's voter rolls remain filled with dead people and voters who have moved out of state. We have about 7.5 million people on our voter rolls, and we only have 3.5 million people who are eligible to vote, which means there is an astounding 53% of people on Wisconsin's rolls that don't belong there, and that's shocking enough. But your colleague, Dr. Andrew Paquette, has identified 875,000 modified duplicates, which means if you deduct those, deduct another 875 off of that 3.5 million eligibles, that means there's only 2.625 million genuinely eligible voters. And that means you've left a whopping 65% on those voter rolls that should not be there."
The problem is, you know, these numbers are so out of control in a database that should have no duplicate voters, no duplicate modified voters, in which everybody should have a voter ID. Now, President Trump has addressed this in the executive order that he signed.
Yes.
And it's a very important executive order in two regards. One, it's going to require the states implement voter IDs. And by the way, Wisconsin also yesterday had an overwhelming vote in favor of voter IDs.
Yes, wasn't that something?
Well, that kind of makes suspect the fact that all these mail-in ballots suddenly appear in, you know, in unprecedented numbers and proportions. And that it's a database that has so many, you know, false positives in it, non-existent voters, that it's like Wisconsin using this last chance to steal. And if that's the case, we are going to definitely investigate it and provide forensic evidence just as to how many of these mail-in ballots were illegitimate because they were voted by modified duplicate voters. Now, secondly, the executive order demanded that we have citizen requirements. So you're going to have to come in with proof of citizenship, And specific tests are cited in President Trump's executive order. So you have to be, what kind of proof of citizenship is going to be acceptable? Well, there's only limited numbers. For instance, a U.S. passport, that's clearly acceptable. Official military identification card that indicates the applicant's a citizen. You know, a valid federal or state issued photo ID, especially a real ID that indicates proof of citizenship.
Right. So unlike Oregon, you can't just show up with a utility bill and expect to vote.
No, and that's going to be out. That's now, I expect that the states are going to resist this.
Oh, absolutely.
And the states are going to go to court like they do with the lawfare, and they're going to resist it.
Yep.
And the states are going to say, come in and force us to do the to comply with this executive order. Because the executive order says within 90 days of the executive order, the Secretary of Homeland Security shall provide the Attorney General complete information on all foreign nationals who have indicated on any immigration form that they have registered or voted in a federal, state, or local election. Now, again, that's another way we can invalidate this current Supreme Court, Wisconsin Supreme Court, Justice Wynn. She's all enthusiastic about it and bubbly about how she's won. But in fact, it doesn't comply, it's not in accord with the fact that President Trump won Wisconsin in the general election just a few months ago.
Yes.
And this voter ID law for Wisconsin passed overwhelmingly. So this is an outlying election in which the numbers are not consistent with the voting pattern of the state. And as such, our investigation is going to, I think, demonstrate and contest fraud and try to prevent this alleged winner, Susan Garland, from taking her seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Well, now, if I can just interrupt you there for a second, you mentioned Trump just won Wisconsin just a few months ago. Given all of these astronomical numbers of fraudulent voters on the rolls there and the rampant potential for fraud that goes along with that, I mean, how on earth did Trump win in Wisconsin back in 2024?
Well, in 2024, we had, with God's Five Stones, so made such a point of the algorithms. And of course, when they're used, we see the indications. Clearly in 2020, it was obvious when the counting of votes is stopped, and then overnight, all these mail-in ballots appear, and then they're, you know, Biden suddenly, when the counting starts, is above Trump, and he stays there and wins. It's obvious that enough votes were fabricated through the algorithms to make Trump lose. Now we need 40,000 votes, mail in, let's go get them overnight, and then we'll start counting again. Now, because we were prepared to catch that in 2024, Wisconsin stopped counting on election night and reported for Trump. The algorithms weren't used in the presidential election, but the algorithms appear to be being used in these congressional elections and the down ballot elections, including Supreme Court justice. And what they've done is shift tactics a little bit. And that is that prior to the election, they're estimating how many mail-in votes they need. And then this exceptional number of mail-in votes is suddenly requested, which looks like a normal event requesting mail-in ballots in advance. Okay, but in fact, it's just the estimate early with producing the algorithmic created, you know, modified duplicate false voters, mail-in ballots early instead of later. They've shifted the time of the request for the mail-in ballots. Mm-hmm. And now we're gonna investigate that. But the other point is that this executive order tightens dramatically the rules under which mail-in voting will be allowed.
Right.
In other words, it's going back much closer to a system where you're going to have to come in with the, you know, to the Board of Election, you're going to have to request a mail-in ballot, you're going to have a reason for a mail-in ballot, you're going to have to then have a particular ballot mailed to you, which can be certified that you returned. Much tighter system, like we used to do the old absentee ballots.
Right. Yeah, because it's not like they don't want any mail-in ballots. It's not that there's never any reason to have an absentee ballot. You know, you want to make some allowances for the legitimate cases when those are needed, but it's all of these other ones that have been just flooding onto those voter rolls that is just reprehensible, and we need to stop that. All right, everyone, stay with us. We'll continue this discussion with Dr. Jerome Corsi after this. on the back, we're talking about election integrity, clone voters, and especially some of the irregularities that just happened in Wisconsin on Tuesday night's vote. And we're doing that with Dr. Jerome Corsi. He's a best-selling author and has two that landed at the New York Times bestseller, number one New York Times bestseller. And so we were talking about what had happened there in Wisconsin, and there is some continuing irregularities there that I would like to dive into a little bit with you. But just to kind of sidetrack a little bit, because, you know, the overall theme of the show here is election integrity, and you sent us an update that I thought raised a really good point. And this is not just for the people that want election integrity, but even the ones that claim they don't, that heaven forbid we clean up our rolls or drop mail-in ballot. And you said this: if criminals have penetrated state board of election servers, foreign nations are also capable of doing so. Securing voter integrity not only preserves the fundamental freedom of all American citizens, it also protects our nation from the national security threat that foreign enemies might seek to determine the outcome of our elections. And, you know, of course, famously, the Democrats all said that Russians interfered with the 2016 election. So by their own words and beliefs, shouldn't they get what they say they want, an election that's free from fraud and interference, especially foreign entities?
You would think so, except that the Democrats are historically duplicitous. And they do not mean these things to apply to their own fraud.
Yes.
And so therefore, the Democrats would be happy to have a Russian collusion hoax, which is fabricated against Donald Trump. And at the same time, they don't want to accept that there could be foreign actors that enter our computer systems if criminals have already penetrated the State Board of Election servers to put code in to the server that allows the creation of false voters to get legitimate state IDs. So that's the hypocrisy of the Democrats. Yes. When it comes to these types of issues.
Yeah. Well, they're also historically hysterical when it comes to these kinds of things as well. Getting back to Wisconsin there, Rasmussen reported Wednesday, and there was others on X as well, they were zeroing in on some suspicious voting activity for that Supreme Court race in Wisconsin. And they had retweeted a private journalist who pointed out some voting irregularities. In 2023, Brown County, which is where Green Bay is located, there were 77,000 votes for a Supreme Court judge in that race in 2023. The Democrat got 51.53%. And then in 2025, just Tuesday night, that same county, there were some 100,000 votes, and yet the Democrat got 51.43%. So only off by 0.1%. And Rasmussen, in retweeting that, said very interestingly, they said, note the virtually same percentages, almost like an algorithm is running.
Well, you see, I think a number of analysts are catching on. And there are a variety of things that really make it clear of manipulation. No, the AP was reporting in Wisconsin that Susan, at 8:17 p.m. on election night yesterday, April 1, Susan Crawford had 44.9% of the vote. And then suddenly, at 9:33, which is approximately 50 minutes later, Susan Crawford has 55% of the vote and goes ahead and wins. And how did that happen? Hmm. How does it happen that the two counties here, Milwaukee and Madison, Wisconsin, are counties which, you know, both had overwhelming votes for Susan Crawford, and yet the state as a whole was voting for Brad Schimmel and also was voting for voter IDs to be an amendment to the Wisconsin Constitution. Okay, so again, these are outliers, which indicate to me that an effort was made on mail-in ballots, which came in an exceptional proportion, to load them with false positives. Voters who had were modified duplicates that were just lying in the database ready to be used. And the criminals said, look, we're going to need 20 or 30,000 of these to win, or 40,000 of them to win. And the mail-in ballots were double what the mail-in ballots were in 2 years ago,
right?
Say 24 compared to 2022. Suddenly in 2025, you get a 50% increase in mail-in ballots. Well, again, that's indicating that mail-in ballots were specifically created to make sure that Crawford won. And we can forensically determine that by getting a hold of the voter lists and see who voted mail-in ballots, and then voter by voter, trying to identify who that voter was within the database and to see if it was a duplicate modified vote. And we're going to offer to do this for Kash Patel. We're going to give him the technology. We're going to show him how to use it, and we'll run the analysis for them.
Well, I would think that the FBI had some people there that would really understand these algorithms, why they're so important, and would be able to use the technology that you give them and really zero in on things. I mean, you're practically handing them the Holy Grail on a silver platter when it comes to voter fraud. That'd be my hope anyway. Just one other thing here from Captain Seth Keschel here. He said that Crawford, that's the one that won the race, had nearly as many ballots, 1.3 million, as Hillary Clinton did in the 2016 presidential election in a state that isn't growing very much. That's in itself, I think, pretty suspicious. This is an off-year election. It's for a Supreme Court judge, and yet she got nearly as many as Hillary Clinton did back in 2016. You know, when there is that much smoke, there's almost always some kind of fire. And again, there are just so many irregularities that has all the appearance that something almost has to be wrong.
Well, and again, we can't just say, look, this was a Wisconsin Supreme Court election. It's a down ballot election, and we don't care. Because this goes along with another Democratic technique to do vote fraud, or, you know, we say lawfare, well, vote fair to win elections. In other words, there's a gerrymandering scheme that needs to be voted on by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And the gerrymandering scheme, if approved, would create two more districts in Wisconsin that are likely, almost certain, to go to the Democrats. They'd gain two seats. Now, by getting Crawford to win the Supreme Court, Wisconsin Supreme Court election in Wisconsin, they put a judge in place who's going to rubber stamp the gerrymandering scheme. Okay, so again, you've got now these radical judges being gotten onto the bench, even if it involves election fraud, to do so with a Wisconsin database that is riddled with fraud, has almost one out of every seven votes being a modified duplicate, and should never have been used to run this election.
No, it's almost criminal. Well, I think it is, quite frankly. I think it is criminal what happened there. Okay, it is time for a break. Everyone stay with us. We'll continue with Dr. Jerome Corsi after this. We always want people to listen to the iSpy Radio show on the radio, but we also know that sometimes you might be trapped under a refrigerator and can't get to the radio. And we also have guests on who get pretty deep into their subject, and you might think, now hold on, I need to hear that one again. And that's why we have the podcast version of the show. The iSpy Radio show is on all of the major podcast platforms, and if you're listening on one of those platforms, do us a big favor and give us a thumbs up or like and subscribe. That helps other people find us. Spread the word for good information with just a couple of little clicks, and thanks for doing that. And welcome back. We're talking today to Dr. Jerome Corsi. He's a New York Times bestselling author, and he's also the CEO and founder of CorsiNation.com. But there's another website that you'll want to go visit because it is especially relevant to today's show, Gods5Stones.com, and that's Gods, no apostrophe, five, spelled out, F-I-V-E, stones.com, and we'll link that up on today's show page 15-14 on iSpyRadio.com. We've been talking about this mess here at Wisconsin, and I got to tell you, coming from Oregon and watching what has happened here over the last three decades or so that I've been here, we pioneered vote by mail. And I am just absolutely convinced that if we pioneered vote by mail, then we must have pioneered election fraud by mail. I mean, otherwise, there was really no point to switching to vote by mail. So I'm hoping that while you guys are investigating Wisconsin and some of these other ones, you know, down there in Florida with that case going on, I can't wait for you guys to start turning your attention to Oregon.
Well, see, I think we have a fundamentally different situation today than we did before President Trump was president. Number one, we have an executive order which mandates voter ID and demands proof of citizenship. Okay, now that has to be implemented. But the executive order gives us tremendous authority. And what we have in Wisconsin is a state database that would not qualify as acceptable.
Not even under close.
The executive order. Not even close.
Yeah.
Okay, so now by challenging, we can file, Peter and I will work to get a criminal charge raised against in Wisconsin, saying the election was criminally fraudulent by means of the mail-in ballot scheme, and we will demand to get inspection of who voted in the mail-in ballot to compare it to the massive number of modified duplicates. One out of every seven voters, could be close to a million duplicate files that are inherently illegal, where a voter got more than one voter ID and yet voted possibly. When we determine how many of those voted, we'll have a case of criminal fraud.
Hmm.
Okay, now that's, we can have that
case for criminal fraud. Does it have to rise to the point where if you got rid of those fraudulent voters, it would in fact change the outcome of the election, or is just pointing out the fraud enough?
Well, both, actually a combination, because I think that once you've pointed out the fraud and you detect, you know, there are many other ways fraud could be occurring in the election, including how many illegals were on the voter roll. In other words, we're going to ask Cash Patel not just to investigate the algorithms, but certain other obvious ways fraud is committed. How many dead people voted? How many people who moved out of the state voted? In other words, we're going to demand a forensic criminal investigation of the voting on this election. And that can, that has, we can have FBI subpoena powers to go in here and to find out what happened. Now, the key is the Democrats have to understand that they can't get away with this anymore. In other words, we've already won in a major way. God's five stones, first of all, blocked the use of the algorithms in the 2024 presidential race. All seven of the battleground states reported election night and reported for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going after these down ballot elections where the algorithms are still being used and where the voting fraud is still in a massive way evident.
Yeah.
So we're going to go after these cases in order to prove that we need to get the algorithms altogether out of these databases, and that the executive order, which allows us to certify the integrity of the voter roll, in other words, no secret codes that create data that even the state officials are unaware of, that's inherently illegal, according to HAVA,
right.
Help America Vote Act. So by us continuing to do the due diligence on these current elections, and Wisconsin is a clear case, the Supreme Court election, clear case we can focus on.
Right.
Just, we're already focusing on, you know, the case of Rocky Rockford in Florida. They've already got a case being pursued in the state courts in Florida. Now, with President Trump in office, we can go to see if we can't get a criminal investigation started.
Well, I sure hope that Cash Patel does get involved, because this was happening there in Wisconsin and was happening down there in Florida. I mean, they demonstrate exactly why this executive order is so needed. And I think people kind of need to see that to connect it, because, you know, you read through the executive order, it's like 11 pages or so. It's a lot to digest. But when you can see, yes, in fact, voter fraud is happening right before our eyes, that I think will help. You know, there's already a lot of people, I think 60-some% of people already want things like voter ID. So I think this just furthers that case. Plus, we just found out the mess there at Social Security, where apparently Biden was getting literally millions of illegal immigrants onto Social Security, and a lot of those were then ending up on voter rolls, and apparently some of those did in fact vote. So again, there's just such a need for this executive order.
Well, we're winning.
Yes.
Now, we haven't won yet. In fact, now it's time to double down on our efforts.
Absolutely.
That's what we decided, God's five stones. In other words, the majority of Americans believe that the elections are corrupt, and 2020 is corrupt, and Donald Trump has stated that as a goal to prove it's corrupt. He's going to be able to do that. Remember, we're not even 100 days into the Trump administration and the second term. We're still very early on. Now, as we begin with God's five stones to say we're determined to have voter integrity, we're to focus in elections like this Wisconsin Supreme Court election, and we're going to demand that it be investigated criminally.
Yeah.
We're upping the pressure.
Right. Well, I would love to see this happen, as I say, and this executive order. There's so much to unpack there, but we're going to get into some of the highlights of that in our final segment with Dr. Jerome Corsi. Stay with us. And back on our final segment now with Dr. Jerome Corsi. He's a New York Times bestselling author, and we've been talking about election fraud and the need to clean up these voter rolls, and we're going to focus now on that executive order. And like I said, we're only going to be able to get through some of these highlights and hit some of these bigger ones. I think this one in particular is really quite big. It's under Section 2, Enforcing the Citizenship Requirement for Federal Elections. Subsection B, Paragraph 3 reads, the Department of Homeland Security, in coordination with the DOGE Administrator, and that's just going to gall them, in coordination with the DOGE Administrator shall review each state's publicly available voter registration list and available records concerning voter list maintenance activities as required, and they cite the law there, alongside federal immigration databases and state records, including through subpoena when necessary and authorized by law for consistency with federal requirements. So I love the fact that the feds are not just trusting the states to examine their own rolls, because that's kind of what we've had so far. And now the feds are going to examine the rolls themselves and subpoena when necessary. I'd love that too.
Well, you see, the additional power of this is the section of the code that was cited there, which is 52 U.S. Code, section 205-507, is one that requires voter registration in federal elections that they have to have the applicants. In other words, they can't just rely on voter authority. They can't just do what they've done before and say, well, we got a driver's license, so therefore we've got a legitimate voter. Okay, so this section is demands that you not go it with voter, this, you know, motor voter type of backdoor to getting someone in on a voter registration roll. Okay, so again, the executive order is buttressed with a lot of specific federal legislation which sets standards. So here you've got to take a look at the voter list maintenance alongside immigration databases in order to make sure that you're not getting through motor voter illegals who've gotten driver's license who then also get onto the voter registration roll.
Yep, that literally happened in Oregon.
Okay, so it's a very well-written executive order. Okay, and it has teeth in it, in that the various sections of the code, the U.S. code, that are cited under the National Voter Registration Act and under HAVA, set federal standards that the states have to comply with, even as to the date and times of elections. So you can't just run elections, you know, indefinitely in front of the date it's supposed to be held, or continued afterwards. You can't take it until it's late. I mean, these are tough requirements that are going to demand that elections be held legitimately by voters who have a right to vote. Now, we can't quit this battle while we're ahead. We can't relax and say, let's not worry about this.
Yeah.
Because what's at stake in this constant election that we're talking about for the Supreme Court justice is the midterm election. And I will guarantee you that the Democrats will fight this executive order to preserve as much fraud as
possible
to try to win back the House and Senate for Democrats in 2026.
Yep.
So between now and 2026, our job is to make sure that we get these state voter rolls cleaned up according to the standards of this executive order.
Yes. Well, I absolutely agree with you that we can't quit. And I think really that's why the Democrats won that Supreme Court seat, is because all of the get out the vote machines out there, Turning Point, some of these other ones, and the Republicans themselves just didn't show up, unfortunately.
I think that's a myth, because the vote was a very strong vote, except in certain counties.
Yes.
With mail-in ballot was disproportionate.
Right.
So you take out Milwaukee, you take out Madison, you take out Dane County, and that state voted overwhelmingly against the leftist Supreme Court justice.
Well, my thinking there is that if we had gotten the vote out more, that means they would have had to gone even that much further over the top to cheat. So we only got 2 minutes here with you real quick. This is another big one that I think is really important. Section 4, subsection B, paragraph 2. Within 180 days of the date of this order, the Election Assistance Commission shall take appropriate action to review and, if appropriate, recertify voting systems under the new standards established under subsection B1, and to rescind all previous certifications of voting equipment based on prior standards. That sounds like we may finally get the chance to crack open the voting machines to truly and forensically examine them. Is that how you take that?
So there's other requirements in here for paper ballot backup. And the final teeth in this executive order is that states who do not comply may begin losing federal funding.
Yes.
It's like the colleges are losing federal funding for supporting Hamas. Okay, and so President Trump is serious about this. And at God's Five Stones, we're accepting the challenge. And now that we've won what we've won to get this executive order, which largely was Peter Titkin's strategy. I was told this executive order was coming 3 months ago.
Mm.
Now that we have it, we're going to battle.
Yes.
And we intend to win this battle.
Well, absolutely. I just think these voting machines, it's time to crack those open, including the software that runs them, because I don't think it should be legal for any voting machine to be running any software that isn't publicly available for examination. But you're right. We absolutely cannot quit. So we're looking forward to hearing some great things from what you have to say, and also hopefully Kash Patel getting involved as well. Unfortunately, though, we are up against the clock. I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Always a great pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
I want to reiterate a point Dr. Corsi made. The focus for Republicans has been on get out the vote, too big to rig. But that needs to change. I agree with Dr. Corsi and others' analysis that the Democrats were more than willing to sacrifice the presidency and instead focus on and steal the down-ballot races. That made the Republican edge in Congress too little to govern. The Democrats didn't even need a majority. That might look suspicious. And knowing that Republicans won't stick together with such narrow margins, all you need is to bleed off a few of them. Think about it. Trump won by big margins, and yet for some reason, people just didn't bother to vote for Republican congressmen and senators. That just doesn't make sense. That's why the focus now must be to clean up these voter rolls, get rid of the dead people, the people who moved out of state, and root out these algorithmically placed modified duplicates, because as long as they are all there, election fraud is a distinct possibility. Did it happen recently in Wisconsin? We don't know at this point. That's precisely why the FBI needs to get involved, which will then lay the legal and narrative groundwork for why Trump's executive order must be implemented in every state, and especially right here in Oregon. We cannot give up. We must keep fighting, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.